Welcome to the Silver Screen Podcast. I'm Jared Boomer.
And I'm Katie Gainey West. This is a podcast about movies and pop culture.
And today we are talking about a very highly anticipated movie that got delayed a few times, but finally is in theaters. That is F9 of the Fast and Furious franchise. This was Katie's first time seeing a mainline Fast and Furious movie. We did review Hobbs and Shaw here on the show, which is kind of like a spinoff. So you can check that out if you want more Fast and Furious content. But this movie originally was supposed to come out in April of 2020 and then got delayed about a year and a half due to COVID. So,
Jared, I don't know what this says, but I did notice. So Arjun and I, the first movie we saw when we were dating together was It. The remake of It.
Oh, okay.
And the first movie we've now seen as a married couple is F9.
Ooh,
so
good choices.
Mm-hmm,
so,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There you go.
I could just talk like Vin Diesel for the whole episode.
Also, everyone should know that when Jared sent the invitation for us to record, he can name it. He can name the episode and also he can give me a name, and he named me Katie Toretto. So
it's all about family. When you're talking about the Fast and Furious franchise. So.
Oh, I did also ask Arjun if he wanted to be on this episode. Jared, I forgot to tell you that.
Okay.
I think he was kind of nervous about it and was like, no, you've got this. So okay. I did ask, but I think he just thought it's in capable hands with us.
Okay, good to know. So first, before we get to F9, we do have a few news items. First up, a big late night show host, Conan O'Brien, ended his late night show after 28 years.
Yes.
It was on TBS. That ended. He's going to do like a variety type show for HBO Max, which sounds entertaining, but it's not going to be like every night. It's just going to be, I think it might be once a week or once a month, or I don't know what he's going to do with that. And he has his podcast as well that's gotten pretty popular, and he interviews celebrities on there and stuff. So I think he just didn't want to do a late night show every single night anymore, which I don't blame him. Like, it's been 28 years. He's experienced that part of his career and wants to move on to something else. So, but I mean, best of luck to him. I saw him a couple times once when he was hosting The Tonight Show. We were in California for a vacation and we got tickets to The Tonight Show with him. So that was cool. And then he did a tour a couple years ago and I saw him in Chicago do like stand up with a few other comedians. So that was really fun too. And then he came out after the show. There was like probably like 50, 70 people before COVID, you know, when you could gather closely together. And they were just kind of waiting for him because it was right outside the theater. So stood there for a few minutes and then he came out and said hi to everybody and was very nice. So that's the nice thing with comedians too, is they kind of leave like 15 minutes after the show's over because they're not like a band where they have to like pack up all their equipment and stuff. So he was out of there and pretty quickly after the show. So that was nice. He answered a few questions and all that. But best of luck to him on his future endeavors. But I mean, a late night icon that kind of is no longer on late night. So
I know. And I knew how much you loved him. And then, you know, we've had mutual friends who have worked with him, and he just seems really well respected and genuinely very kind. So I wish him the best. And he left a really good high note on late night television.
Yes. Also, some other news items. Britney was denied. So that was a big story that happened. Britney Spears trying to get away from her father and the conservatorship and all of that stuff going on with Britney. And then Bill Cosby is also out of jail now, too. So he's just roaming around.
I mean, okay. So like, I don't know that Free Britney was ever a joke, but I feel we're at the point where like someone told me, well, Britney Spears is mentally ill. And I was like, I don't know what that has to do with her father being able to like rule every decision she makes as an adult.
Yep.
I do agree that there is some mental illness there, but there are plenty of people running around buying guns, killing people with mental illness, you know, that we're not, and not even just gun owners, but I'm just saying there's plenty of people who have mental illness and struggle with that every day, and they are not part of a conservatorship. I did hear that this might have been denied on a technicality. So I do think that there can be a positive outcome in the future. But someone put a meme out this week that was talking about how we live in a world now where Britney Spears like is being told what form of birth control and stuff she can use, but Bill Cosby is free. And I was like, ain't that the truth? Because if there is anything that made me super embarrassed about America this week, it was that, because we all know what Bill Cosby did. So I mean, even more than the Britney thing, I'm just infuriated by it. But there's nothing I can do. I have to trust juries and judges and whatever. But that super upset me this week, Jared.
Yeah. So that was not great on either of those fronts. So
you're always so calm. You are the yin to my yang, Jared.
But yeah, neither of those good situations, though. No. You know, I mean, you obviously Bill Cosby did some very bad things. Don't really think he should probably be out of prison so fast. And then Brittany, you know, she's an adult. Like you said, she may struggle with mental illness. But if my every move was being controlled by my parents still at my age, I probably would struggle with that as well. So right. The fact that she has no freedom is probably somewhat related to that, you know, as well. So we'll see what happens with that situation. And then some other movie news, two other things. One, I don't know if you already knew this, Katie, but I did not. I realized it because before F9, I got a trailer for No Time to Die. And No Time to Die's release date is now October. I thought it was November, but it's October 8th now. Okay.
Okay, I actually think I did know that.
Okay.
But I forgot you told me you got that trailer because I was super upset that I didn't get that trailer. And we walked out of the theater because we saw In the Heights, we watched on HBO.
Yeah.
We went to the theater to go see F9 and we walked out and Arjun knows how upset, like how eager I am for the movie, but also how upset I am when the trailers don't happen. And we walked out and there was a movie poster of it and Daniel Craig was staring at me and I was so upset. And I forget what Arjun said, but he made a joke about it. Just like, oh, no trailer again. And I was like, they're doing this on purpose.
Oh. Yeah,
I got one. But October, we're actually closer to that than you think.
Yeah, October 8th. So that's when it's coming out. I will never forget one of the defining things of the pandemic is going to be Daniel Craig hosting SNL when No Time to Die was already delayed. And then like 2 weeks later, SNL being like, yeah, we're doing the show from our houses now. Because like that's how quick that happened. So because people were like, oh, that was the first movie that was like delayed because of the pandemic and people were thinking, really, you're gonna delay it that far? Like that doesn't seems like we'll be over this before then. Nope, right. They were right. So although
I'm really glad you brought this up because I said a year ago I was gonna watch all the James Bonds and I definitely have made little to no headway on that. So I need to get started.
So you have October 8th. And then the other thing is Netflix announced the release date for their big movie, Red Notice. This is the one with The Rock, Gal Gadot, and Ryan Reynolds, like the most expensive Netflix movie ever produced, but that's going to be out November 12th. So it's rumored. I figured on this episode where we talk about F9, even though The Rock isn't in this one because he has massive disagreements with Vin Diesel on a lot of things. His new movie, yeah, they do not get along very well. So
what? Tell me all the hot goss. I did not know this. Do I need to Google it?
Yeah, you might want to Google it to go into more detail, but I think they have beef and they don't really like each other. And
am I going to have to pick a team?
You might, because
I'm going to pick Team Rock.
It's really a feud over like Fast and Furious. So
I had no idea, but I was glad if you're Googling that, I will say I forgot to mention in news, Gal Gadot had her third baby girl like 2 weeks ago.
Congrats to her.
Yeah, so she's a healthy baby girl. Her name is Daniela. I probably shouldn't memorize these facts, but I know them. So
nice. So that'll be out in November. Red Notice, The Rock, Gal Gadot, Ryan Reynolds. I mean, that's going to be a very popular one on Netflix. So, and it's reported, I saw an article that The Rock got paid $20 million and Gal Gadot got paid $20 million for this movie.
That's right.
And I don't know how much Ryan Reynolds got paid, but I'm sure it was up there. I mean, it was a decent amount. Honestly. So that's all the news for today. Some recommends real quick before we get into our thoughts on F9. Katie, you had a few recommends. I don't really have anything to recommend. I kind of got them all out on our last episode, but you had a few more to share.
Yes, mine are brief, actually. So I watched Halston on Netflix. So this is with Ewan McGregor. I can't say I recommend it because, okay, I love fashion. That was awesome. Like, it was great because I knew Halston as a designer, but I did not realize how his rise to fame happened. I didn't know when he started getting popular. I just knew the name now. And Sarah Jessica Parker wears a ton of Halston in Sex and the City. So that was what I knew. And I like his designs. Like, I really do. However, this show was like one of the most graphic things I've ever seen on Netflix. By graphic, I mean like sexual. Drug usage was off the chain. And I think the F word was said like at least minimum 15 times an episode. I only say that again. I feel like I don't need to justify that I'm not a prude, but I feel like this is something that I only felt comfortable watching it by myself. There was also, I am all for like people marrying who they want to marry and same-sex couples and stuff like that. However, I think that's harder to explain because there is a lot of same-sex interactions in this show. And I feel like if you had a kid walk into the room, if you were at house and you're at your house and you're a mom, that's a lot harder to explain. Anyway, just super graphic. And I don't even, that doesn't bother me as much. I was more just like, how are they allowed to have this on Netflix without some sort of like warning, I guess. But the F-bombs and the drug usage were so out of control. Like, to me, there's no justification except that that was his real life. So I don't know that I recommend it. But Ewan McGregor was really good. I just feel like I could have taken it or I could take it or leave it as a show. But if you love fashion like I do, that might be worth your time. The other thing is a recommendation so far. I am reading The Invisible Life of Addie LaRue. This is by V.E. Schwab. This book has been recommended to me at least 20 times by 20 different people. It was a Book of the Month finalist for Book of the Year last year. It was in the top five. Jared's girlfriend, Allison, just read it, raved about it. She read it in almost a full day. I have had so many friends tell me I'm going to love it. The only thing I'm worried about, we talked about this actually in our In the Heights episode. So many people have been overhyping things lately where it's actually letting me down. And it's been happening with TV shows, movies, and books. So that's the only thing I'm worried about. But I will tell you, I am about 3/4 of the way through and I'm really liking it. So it could be as good as they say. I just don't know yet. And it's one of those books that I'm actually not speeding through. It's taken me like a week.
Okay,
so far.
Good to know. Yeah. Also, this book has a very distinctive cover. Like, if you've seen this in the bookstore or whatever, it's like black, but then it has gold lettering and stuff on it.
And it has seven stars on the front, which as you read the book, you find out she has like freckles on her face and it looks like a constellation. And so that's what it's alluding to.
Yeah.
But it's a beautiful book, like beautiful looking. And I'll definitely follow up on our next episode. I'll get it done for sure over the weekend, but I'll let you know what I actually thought about it. But I do see why people are really into it and it's an original idea. The characters are really interesting. So I'll give you my feedback next week.
Cool. Well, with that, we will move into our discussion now of F9, released on June 25th. PG-13, every single Fast and Furious movie is PG-13. Language, action, violence, that's, you know why they're rated PG-13. 2 hours, 23 minutes. This one, not as highly received as some of the other ones in the series. IMDb is a 5.5 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes, critics 60%, audience 82%. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing with the Fast and Furious movies, though. Critics are never going to like these movies.
Never.
They're never going to like them because they're just big action blow up stuff fests. And that's, critics don't like that. They like, you know, stories and plot development and characters.
Real
and,
acting. You know,
if you have your critic talent who's going to the cinema, he's not real excited to see F9.
Right.
So.
Right.
This movie has made a ton at the box office so far, though. Domestically, $122 million, which is a good sign for movies in general. A lot of industry people were wondering how would theaters kind of respond and how would people respond after the pandemic to going to the theater. And with this having made that much so far, that's not as much as maybe a normal Fast and Furious movie would make in its first couple of weeks, but it's up there. You know, $122 million is a lot of money. So I think they're very happy with that, Universal. And $500 million worldwide. So it's already
half a billion
worldwide.
This was so funny because, first of all, just so people know, spoiler, I did like this movie. I didn't love this movie, but I get it. I get why people like this. And it was funny because Jared and I planned to watch In the Heights and F9. So I was doing the notes at the same time because I'd seen both the movies. And it was funny to flip back and forth because I was filling in the notes for In the Heights and the critics and audience were in the high 90s, like 96, 94. But it made like $100,000. However, it was also on HBO Max. Then you go to, I was doing F9 and it's like horrible scores, but it made $500 million. And I couldn't stop laughing because it's so interesting. I think that could be a number of reasons. I think it's people being excited to go back to the theaters. And regardless of whether this is good acting or a good plot, people like this stuff. And sometimes I can't really judge. That's what I'm starting to learn. I can't really judge about this franchise. I mean, I do a little. But I don't want people to judge me for loving things like the Bachelor franchise. So I'm also like, you know what? We all like different kinds of garbage. We just go different places to see the garbage. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yep. Also, yeah. This movie, I mean, the another difference between this and In the Heights is this has like defined celebrity like movie stars in it as well.
Great
like,
point.
Vin Diesel, John Cena, you know, Michelle Rodriguez.
Great point.
Helen Mirren. You know who these people are. You're like, you've seen them in other stuff. So that could be some of the draw too, is just people like, oh, I want to go see the new Vin Diesel movie because I like Vin Diesel. So some critics' reviews for this. Oh, first the synopsis. Sorry. It's not very long because these movies never have very much of a plot. Cypher enlists the help of Jacob, Dom's younger brother, to take revenge on Dom and his team. I have some thoughts on that later on about the whole younger, older brother situation. So some critics' reviews. First up, we have Jake Coyle of the Associated Press, who says, if you can stomach the macho melodrama, these movies are ridiculous big screen ballets with cars shooting out of skyscrapers and airplanes that are at their best are the right kind of stupid.
I loved reading the critics' comments for this, so I picked four because I did a balance of this movie was stupid versus like, I get why people like this.
Next up is Peter Travers of ABC News, who says, as usual, the plot is stupid beyond saving, but the vehicular action is insanely entertaining. That's a fair trade-off for the adrenaline junkie and all of us who only wants Vroom cranked up to 11. Consider it done.
Jared, I love how you're reading these with like little to no emotion. You're just like, everything is cranked up to 11.
Oh, we actually have Donald Clark of the Irish Times.
Yeah, do it.
Donald says, it really isn't worth trying to keep up. Immerse yourself rather in the sillier stunts and the genuinely sparky interplay between committed action stars. That's a
very
big point
good.
With these. Don't pay attention to the plot too much.
No.
It's not going to make sense in about 5 minutes. So,
right. It won't matter.
You're going to have to suspend disbelief. And then finally, we have Clarice Lowry of The Independent, who says, in this ninth installment, it's still delivering what audiences truly want. Cars where cars absolutely should not be.
Also,
in this one, they go to space.
Oh, crap. I was going to say, there are absolutely spoilers in this episode because there are so many things that are so ridiculous. I can't not talk about them in this episode.
So this one is directed by Justin Lin. He's done a few other Fast and Furious movies. He did Fast and Furious 6, which was pretty solid. The Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift, which is not one of the more highly regarded ones. And also Fast and Furious. He's also done Better Luck Tomorrow and Star Trek Beyond. Next up, it's rumored that he will direct Fast and Furious 10, the sequel to this movie. I think they said they want to make 11 of these. Which
Why?
I guess makes sense. I think they should do 12 because on your keyboard you have like F1 to F12. I think they should just do 12 of them.
Well,
and
I was
close
wondering
it out with that.
Why do they want to do 11? Is that significant?
Not really, not that I know of. So I'm not really sure what the thought is there. I don't know if the last two. I think the last two are going to be like, you know how the last ones in a franchise are kind of like two-parters, basically, like Harry Potter or Hunger Games or something like that. I think that's what they want to do with the last two Fast and Furious movies, but I'm not sure. So, but I could see Vin Diesel being like, yeah, I kind of want to do something else in my career at this point. So, and some of these other people too. So that is who directed Fast and Furious 9, F9. We'll take a quick break here on the Silver Screen Podcast, come back, talk about the cast and our likes and dislikes for Fast and Furious 9. Welcome back to the Silver Screen Podcast, talking about F9, also known as F9, The Fast Saga, if you want a more dramatic title,
right.
Or just Fast and Furious 9. So these all have different titles on them, which is very interesting. Like the eighth one was called The Fate of the Furious because it was eight. Then there's, you know, Furious 7, Fast 5. The first one was called The Fast and the Furious. The fourth one was called Fast and Furious. They really went out on a limb there to come up with a different name. So... So not really sure why, but now we're getting into the cast. First up, Vin Diesel, who plays Dominic Toretto.
Thank you for that introduction. Vin Diesel, like Jared said, he plays Dominic Toretto, or Dom, as he is fondly referred to in the film. He has a fraternal twin, Jared. Did you know this?
I did not. That's cool.
Okay, so I do know that Arjun has told me that before, but I forgot. And either way, I love that he has a fraternal twin, not an identical twin. So help us all. God help us all. Vin and I have something in common. Anyway, he is best known for the Fast and Furious franchise, but he also starred in Triple X and voiced the character of Groot in Guardians of the Galaxy, which he is the cutest character. So I do love that. I also really want to throw up on myself saying this, but next up, you can see Vin Diesel in every sequel they are making in the world, including Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, Avatar 2, and Fast and Furious 10.
Nice. Cannot wait for all of those. So,
yeah, I know. We need them all. Just as many many sequels, prequels, ninth installments as possible.
Yeah. But I mean, props to Vin Diesel, because it's hard for a celebrity to even get, like, you know, one big film franchise. And this dude has two with, you know, F9 and the Guardians of the Galaxy. And next up in the cast is none other than Michelle Rodriguez, who has been in a lot of these movies, who plays Letty.
Yes, I have comments about Michelle Rodriguez for later. However, Jared is absolutely right. She is best known for the Fast and Furious franchise. She has appeared in almost every movie. I will say something I like about her that I read. She was a strong advocate for female writers for this movie, particularly this last installment, and also better storylines for the female characters. And she said she wasn't going to sign on unless they did that. And they actually did what she requested. So that's awesome. Next up, you can see her in a movie called Dungeons and Dragons, which I can only assume is based on the video game.
Yeah, I would
Dungeons
guess.
And Dragons. Yeah. Then we also have John Cena, who plays Jacob. I just want to point out that it's Jacob with a K. John Cena is best known for his career in the WWE. He has also starred in plenty of films, though, including Trainwreck, 12 Rounds, The Marine, and Bumblebee. Next up, he has several projects, including Snafu, The Janssen Directive, and a TV series called Peacemaker. And my favorite thing about John Cena, I'm a big fan, could have done a crush alert, moving on. What makes me personally very appreciative of him, he is extremely invested and dedicated to the Make-A-Wish Foundation. And he has granted more wishes, like, by far, than any other celebrity to date. He has done over 650 wishes for kids with cancer and other ailments.
That's very cool. Yeah, he's a big, like, proponent of Make-A-Wish. So that is...
Yes, he is awesome.
Definitely very cool.
So I don't want to forget to mention the other cast members, which will come up in our likes and dislikes. But this movie is also starring Jordana Brewster, or Jordana, I forget. I think it's Jordana, and she's very pretty. I know her. Anyway, Tyrese Gibson, Chris Ludacris Bridges, Nathalie Emmanuel, Charlize Theron, Dame Helen Mirren, Anna Sawai. I think it's Sawai. She's stunning. I could be wrong, though, but her last name is Sawai. Could be Sawai. Kurt Russell and Sung Kang, who is in some of the other films, and that is part of the spoilers we were talking about.
Yes, so that's the cast for Fast and Furious. Basically, just about everybody is back from the last couple of movies, with exceptions to a few people. So
yes.
Now we'll get into our likes and dislikes. One, I wanted to ask you before we get into that, did you see this in IMAX or regular?
Regular.
Okay, so I saw it in IMAX and I got a 5-minute preview for Jurassic World.
But
it started with just dinosaurs and there was no intro or anything for it. And I thought, maybe there's dinosaurs in this Fast and Furious movie. It's like not out of the question.
Wow.
And then a few minutes into it, it was, you know, they started showing the trailer for Jurassic World. So I was like, okay. But it wasn't out of the question that there were, I mean, it was believable to me that this one just had dinosaurs in it for some reason. So,
I mean, it's got space, so why not?
Why not dinos? So, So some likes for this movie. First up, these are all just fun action movies. They have a lot of big stunts, a lot of crazy things happening, a lot of things that wouldn't be possible with physics or people getting injured, which doesn't happen in these movies. So if you like a good action movie with a bunch of different stuff, you know, then go check this out. I will say this one, as opposed to some of the previous ones, doesn't have as many like actual car chases in it, which is kind of one of the big things of the Fast and Furious franchise, is big car action racing sequences. And in this one, it's kind of, it's not as many as previous movies. They have other types of like action, like hand-to-hand combat. And then there's the whole going to space subplot and putting a rocket launcher on a car and all of this stuff. So they're definitely devolving from like the first couple, which was just like car chases. So
my eyes have just rolled into the back of my head from that entire thing. Yes. So I think I could sum up both my likes and dislikes of this film by just saying you get what you pay for. I don't want to dog on this movie. I did not hate this movie, but I also was like, oh yes, that's what I expected. It's pretty people, definitely really pretty people who are very fit, very attractive. I don't know where I would say, I don't know a fair way to say where their talent lies, but I would say like, it's people that you like, they're recognizable, the action's really good, the cars are really pretty, you get a lot of explosions, so you totally get what you pay for, and I understand. And it's really lighthearted and fun.
Yes, it is. So also, these movies are always, one of the big themes is family, how everybody's a family, everybody's connected as a family. Vin Diesel always has some big speech in every movie about family. Normally at the end, he does it in this one too, you know, family is here and we're all about family. So, you know, which is great. It's a great theme for a movie revolving around family and, you know, considering your friends, your family and all of that stuff. Does get a little cheesy at times, but you know, it's a nice kind of running theme for these movies. It's like we support each other when we're having bad times. We'll pick each other up. You know, we'll help you out. Things like that. So
yes, I will say good point, because these people some of them are related, but for the most part, they're not. But I do like that message. I really mean that, because a lot of people, you choose your friends and you choose the family that you want. Some people don't come from a family like mine where their parents are still married and they like their siblings. So I think that's actually a really positive message. Jared, the reason I was laughing so hard when you were talking, I am going to share this meme when I post about this on social media. Arjun sent this to me the other day. I laughed out loud at work. It's Anakin Skywalker. So it's Hayden Christensen playing him, and he's in space, which that makes more sense once you've seen the film, and Jared and I will talk about it. And he says, looks like you could use a hand, Skywalker. That's Vin Diesel is talking to Anakin. And then Anakin goes, Dom, how the hell are you here in space? And then Dom says, you don't need logic when you got family. Please, please.
That's most of these, honestly, is just, we'll go out there and we'll just, we'll do it because we're family. So
I mean
that's how Vin Diesel talks. It's like he's a little bit better. Some of the early movies, you really cannot understand what he's saying.
There were so many times in this movie I was like, wait, what?
He's got subtitles. A little bit better at like enunciating a little bit better, but he's still not great at it. It's still like very mumbled in parts. So another like that you mentioned, this the theme for the Fast and Furious movies is that they go all over the world and sometimes even into, you know, out of the world in this one. So but you know, that's kind of a cool thing. You get a lot of different settings. Like there's a jungle in this, there's a car chase in the jungle, there's a car chase in the city, there's, you know, some like rural areas, some suburban areas. They pull cars through buildings with magnets. You get a little bit of everything in this movie with in terms of settings. So that's fun.
Yes, I agree with you. And like, I don't want to crap on this movie. I don't want people to think I don't have a lot to say, but I feel like both what I liked and disliked can be summed up in a couple words. But I do think the cars were beautiful and the settings were beautiful. And I mean, I liked what Jared said. That's how I felt. I love any movies where you can see settings in different like major cities, or you go to different countries, or you see a little bit of Europe and then a little bit of Africa. Like, I just love a change in settings like that. And this movie had a ton of that. So that was really exciting for me. And I do think that that is visually interesting. And it's really like, it keeps me really engaged in the story.
Yeah. So that's a fun thing as well. So I guess we can move on to our dislikes now, because I don't really have any other likes for this movie. So some dislikes with this movie. One of my biggest issues with the story, which I know is not something you're supposed to evaluate too much in these movies, but the whole story revolves around Dom and Jacob. And Dom has not seen Jacob in, you know, since these movies started. You find out that Dom and Jacob's father died. They thought it was an accident that just happened. He was a race car driver. They thought it was just an accident, but it turns out that Jacob actually like killed him, you know, and wanted to get revenge basically. So that was that. You find that out later in the movie, all that stuff. But anyway, in a movie franchise that is so much about family and, you know, the theme runs through all of these movies, the fact that Dom didn't know that he had like, he knew he had a brother, but he didn't know where this brother was for like 20 years, even though they go all around the world, they do all this different stuff. Like he never ran into him at any point or tried to find him, or that just seemed a little unrealistic to me. That's like, I wouldn't discover my brother until now. I wouldn't try to rekindle things with my brother until the ninth movie.
I'm also laughing. So I have comments on that, but also I put space. They went to space because that was upsetting to me. And then later I typed overacting all over the space. I meant all over the place, but clearly space was the thing that stood out to me. I agree with you about the family thing. However, full transparency, which I think that people know, this was the first film I've seen in the franchise. I saw Hobbs and Shaw, but I have not seen an actual Fast and Furious movie. So I didn't have that background, which kind of gave me a unique and different perspective than Jared or someone who loves this franchise and has seen them all. So that didn't bother me. I will say the space thing I found ridiculous. So if people are wondering, Ludacris and I don't remember their names. I
Tyrese.
Feel bad.
It's, yeah.
Yeah. But it's not like I didn't care. I just don't remember their names.
Their character's name. Yeah. I don't remember either.
But they go to space. And first of all, I don't think there's anything wrong with black men wanting to go to space. But even that, I was like, is this a joke in itself? Because we know that in America, there are not a lot of black astronauts. We are not known for being open to like having equal, you know, variety of people or a diversity of astronauts up in space. So even that seemed kind of like a rude joke to me. And also, I still don't even get why that had to be a plot point. And I put everything that that I say with plot is in air quotes for this film because there wasn't one. But the space thing was too much for me. Like, I will say the space thing sent me over the edge where I was like, oh yeah, this is exactly the kind of crap that I thought was going to happen. But moving on to overacting, Jared, the overacting bothered me. I didn't walk out of the theater. I was never going to do that, but I can't even tell you how many times I looked over at Arjun and rolled my eyes or just started laughing or just looked at him and he started laughing. And I did turn to him at one point too, and I said, has anyone in this film ever won an Oscar as a joke? And then Helen Mirren showed up and then Charlize. And I was like, oh, Shoot. Okay. But the person that drives me the most insane is Michelle Rodriguez. And I don't know her personally. I'm sure she could be a wonderful person, but her character and her acting made me borderline irate in this film.
Yeah, she's not the most like likable person, I would say, or likable character. Uh-huh. So, and then going back to the space thing, like one, they go to space, I guess, to destroy the satellite that's like transmitting data to Cypher to like get control of this thing, which, you know, okay, whatever. But like they go to space and then like the tech girl, I forget her name, Every one of these action movies has like the tech person that. This one, she doesn't know how to drive. She's never driven a car before, which I found outrageous considering she's Surrounded by people. That's what they do for a living. And nobody ever thought, let's get this girl in a car and teach her how to drive in case something happens, you know, in the off season. So, but anyway, they go to space, they destroy the satellite, but then like Ludacris and Tyrese just crash their car into the satellite. And then like the next scene, they're back on Earth and they're fine. It's like, how did they return to the planet? They had no vehicle.
So. Yes. Great. That's a great question. And
I guess they got picked up by They got picked up by the space station.
Oh, that's
or whatever.
Right. That's right.
But
that's
then
right.
Who knows when they got back, because it's who not knows? Like they just have a shuttle waiting up there.
I wondered that because I was like, okay, we know when astronauts, when people have gone to the moon and stuff, they don't just fly back and get back in 20 minutes. Like it takes a while. And going back to overacting, I don't want to just dog on Michelle Rodriguez, but it was like, even John Cena, I really like John Cena. I don't think he's a bad actor, but I think this is the worst I've ever seen him.
Yeah, like, he was not good in this.
He was terrible. And Vin Diesel, it's like they all are taking themselves so seriously. And every line had to be like, it's all about family. Like, it was just very, everything was very serious and drawn out. No one could answer yes. It had to be an over-the-shoulder glance at someone, yes, with a camera angle, like, closing in on their face. It was just overdone to the extreme. Every line, every look, everything. Too much.
And I will say that, like, that was going to be another one of my dislikes too. But, you know, this movie is really lacking, like, somebody, a character that's just, like, fun and exciting. And that is kind of The Rock. And so, like, with The Rock not being in this one, you can definitely see it, because, like, some of the better regarded ones of the franchise are the ones that The Rock is in, because he brings that, like, kind of charismatic, fun attitude to things. You know, he's likable. He's an action star, but, like, you can connect with him and he can crack a joke and it doesn't sound super awkward when he delivers a line that's like funny, you know, things like that. So, like, some of the better ones in this series, you know, Fast Five, Furious Seven, Fast and Furious Six, stuff like that, you know, have The Rock in them. And those are more highly regarded. And then, you know, he did the Hobbs and Shaw spinoff with Jason Statham, which was pretty good. So I think this movie just really didn't have somebody in it that was, like, you know, brought a lot of charisma to the screen. Like you said, everybody was just so serious the whole time that it was like, these are supposed to just be fun and silly, and you're all acting like this is, like, the most serious thing in the world. Whereas The Rock kind of approaches it from more of a, these are fun, these are action movies, but, like, we can still have fun in these too.
Jared, I think that's a great perspective, because I only have two other things. So the one thing is, I think that exactly what you said about The Rock is usually what John Cena brings to a film, because he is so charismatic and he's really good with comedy. And it was odd to see him. It's not at all that he can't play a dramatic role and he can't play a villain, but the fact that they cast him in the villain and then he had to, like, overact and this whole movie's ridiculous and barely has a plot, that was what was difficult for me, because I think normally he would bring so much charisma, comedic timing, and charm, and he couldn't have any of that in the specific role that he had. So I totally agree with you. And then the last thing, this is more, I ask Arjun, since he loves the films, like I just said, you know, was there anything you didn't like about it? And he brought up something I wouldn't have caught. He was just saying, like, it does get annoying to have people die and then they come back from the dead, or, like, people think they've lost a family member and then a family member comes back, because that's what happens in this film. That is a huge spoiler. I'm sure people know by now, but also we warned you. But Han, I found out, is this character that people love, and he died a couple films ago. Spoiler, he didn't die. He comes back. And I think that was, like, awesome for some people if you are a huge fan, but it's also like, okay, but we mourned him. We thought he was gone. And apparently this isn't the first or the last time they've done this. So I can see how that would be kind of overplayed.
Yeah, I can't remember from Fast 8 or Fate of the Furious if Jordana Brewster was in that one or not, but I think she may have come back for this one too. She wasn't dead, but just, like, she was kind of out of the picture of the whole being in the gang with the heist and stuff. So that was another one that, like, I think they brought back, or at least gave her a bigger role, you know, because I don't think she was in the last one. I don't remember though. So also, I just wanted to share with you real quick some of my favorite quotes from F9.
Give them to me first.
One is from Dom, who says, no matter how fast you are, no one outruns their past, which is true. Also, we have another quote as well from Jacob, who says, I spent my entire life in your shadow, and now you spend the rest of yours living in mine.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I could see that line coming from a mile away.
And then
another
one from Dom. Only good thing about Dad dying is that he didn't have to watch what you became.
Oh,
so. So these movies, again, the script is just not really good at all. So
nope. Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Oh, I really have nothing else, me personally. Okay. But go ahead.
I only had one other dislike, and that was the fact I didn't like that they set Jacob up to be this big bad villain who was very evil and, like, you know, with this other organization, all this stuff. But then by the end of the movie, he's like, yeah, I'll join you, brother, that I've had so much beef with over the years. Like, well, be on the team. Sure. Yeah. I felt like if you're going to have a few more of these, you could have had that happen in, you know, a movie or two down the road or whatever, and kind of, like, expand on that a little bit more. But to have him be a villain and then, you know, just turned to the good side so quick was kind of odd. So
totally agree. I mean, I feel like they did that so he could be in more movies.
Yeah. Also didn't like the flashbacks either. Didn't think those were.
No,
we could have done that at the beginning.
You never need those. Like, it is so rare that you actually that is appropriate.
And they did it at the beginning with like the race. Like they showed them as they were younger and that was great.
Yeah. Cause then you know, like, oh, their dad died. Okay. Yeah, okay.
We don't need to flashback to that four times. We don't need that like street race that the two of them have with the turbochargers and all that stuff. Yeah.
Of the 2 hours and 23 minute runtime, I think 23 minutes were flashbacks. So stupid. Now yeah. I'm heated. I'm sorry. I'll calm down, everyone.
So that's our thoughts on F9. So yes. I do have to ask from you've seen this and you've seen Hobbs and Shaw, which is a spinoff, but which one did you think was
Hobbs
better
and Shaw.
In your opinion? Okay.
Hobbs and Shaw. I actually enjoyed Hobbs and Shaw. Now that could have been because of who was in it.
Yeah.
But I just felt like it was a better movie, like by a lot. In fact, yeah. I will, while we're giving our scores, I'll look at what I gave Hobbs and Shaw just to see how vastly different it was.
Okay. Good to know. Also, what do you think, spoiler alert, about, I don't know if you stayed for the credits to see the credits scene.
Yes, I did.
Okay. It looks like Jason Statham is going to be back for the next one. Yeah.
Yeah. So. I was actually excited about that.
Yeah, I think he adds, going back to the charisma thing, I think him and The Rock both have good charisma and they both can deliver comedic lines and be a little funny. You know, whereas I think John Cena, which he has shown that before, just didn't do it in this movie. And Vin Diesel has never been really the one to like be super hilarious in anything. So except Guardians of the Galaxy, but he says one line in that. So,
yes.
Okay, so time to give our grades for F9 in the Fast Saga.
Yeah.
I guess I'll go first. I didn't like this as much as Fast 5 or Fast and Furious 7. I don't know. It's probably in the middle of the Fast movies for me. So I would go a little bit higher than the critics and the audience. A little higher than the critics. I'm not going as high as the audience. I'm going to go 73 out of 100.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Solid. I don't think an 82. It's not an 82. Don't think. It's also not a 5.5 out of 10 like it is on IMDb. I think it's a little better than that, but not quite as good as the audience is rating it. But it's a fun action movie. If you like seeing cars and stuff like that, then, you know, go check it out. You know what you're kind of going to get with these. So,
yes. So I'm giving it a 70. I actually went lower than Jared, but I think that that's fair. I don't even know that it would have helped me to see the other films. I'm a little interested, I must say, in seeing the other films, but ultimately I wasn't shocked by what I saw. It was entertaining where I thought it'd be entertaining, and it was utterly ridiculous at other parts, which is exactly what I expected. So I wasn't let down. I did enjoy it. I didn't walk out of the theater. It was nothing like that. It's just, to me, I do like films that have to have, that have heavier plots and better acting. So that's just a preference, and I'm aware of that. And just so you know, I did give Hobbs and Shaw 82, so that is significantly better, and that is how I felt about it. But 70, I'm glad this was my introduction to Fast and Furious, the franchise, and thank you for challenging me to go outside the box for this one.
No problem, and F10 will be out whenever it's coming out.
I can hardly wait. Maybe I'll recover by then.
Yeah, who knows? Yeah. So we'll see who's back for that one in a couple of years. So, but also they should have, I mean, they just need to kind of wrap these up at this point. There's
really
so many
do.
Of these. So, okay, that's our thoughts on F9. On our next episode of the Silver Screen Podcast, we're reviewing a Marvel movie. It's been quite a while since we've done one of those, couple years since a Marvel movie has come out, but Black Widow will be releasing with Scarlett Johansson and David Harbour and Florence Pugh. So excited to check that one out, a Marvel movie. Like I said, it's been quite a while. So that'll be our next episode. And then you can find the show on social media at Podcast Silver on Twitter and Instagram. Search the Silver Screen Podcast on Facebook and find us there. And be sure to rate and review wherever you listen to the show. That really helps us out. And our next episode will be Black Widow.
Until next time, we'd like to thank the Academy.